several different reasons, but one of the reasons is this church never gave Paul credit for being an apostle. They never gave Paul the respect of the authority that God had given to him. And so they put all this emphasis on these other apostles and these other big preachers. And Paul says, hey, I know a guy. He's seen some special things. What Paul was saying is, I've seen some great things too. He says, I've seen some things that nobody else has seen. Verse number 3, he says, and I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell, God knoweth, how that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words which it is not lawful for a man to utter. Paul said, God showed me some things I can't even tell you. Now, he wasn't the only one. John the Revelator seen some things he couldn't say either. But Paul said, hey, I seen some things. I heard some things that I can't even tell you. I can't even tell you about. I need somebody to hear what I'm trying to say right here. Paul said, I was privileged enough to see some great things. So great that I can't even tell you what they are. He said, of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. Paul said, I'll not glory in what I've seen in the great things that I've seen. I'll not glory, he says, of myself. But don't miss this, he says, but in mine infirmities. Everybody wants to glory when everything's going good. Everybody wants to boast when things are going good. Man, when God's working in our life, we'll stand up and testify like nobody's business. Woo! I'd just like to say, God gave me a new car. Come with 60 payments. But God gave me a new car. I'm in that boat. God gave me a new house. It comes with a bunch more payments than 60. It's funny how we choose the big things and the mountaintops to glory in and to boast of. But Paul said, I ain't going to boast of that. He says, I'll boast in mine infirmities. Now he's going to tell us why. Now see, that ain't something that we want to do now. I need somebody to help me. That's not, we tend to clam up when things don't go the way we want them to go. When things don't happen like we think they ought to happen, we tend to clam up and at best, we start to question God. At worst, we blame God. Why is this happening to me? Why'd you let this come into my life? That's the questioning. Then we get to blaming. I've served you. I've gone to church. I've been faithful. Has you ever thought about, y'all talk to me now. Have you ever thought about how we'll argue with God and tell him how faithful we've been? How good we've been? And God sitting up there, I can just picture him sitting up there going, Jesus. Look at Robbie down there. Listen to this fool. Verse number 6. For though I would desire to glory, Paul said, I shall not be a fool. He said, I want to glory and tell you all about this vision that I had. I want to glory and take all the glory. I want to shout about it on the rooftop, about the spiritual privilege that God has given to me. He said, but I shall not be a fool. For I will say the truth, But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Listen to this, verse number 7. And lest I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. The messenger of Satan to buffet me. Lest I should be exalted above measure. Paul said, I would desire to do it, but I'm not a fool. The Bible says in the next verse, Paul says, and to keep me, my pride from being, he says there was, listen, given to me a thorn in the flesh. It was a gift. I'm going to go say it on this side. It was a gift. Paul said about this thorn in the flesh that it was a gift. It was given to him. Then he says this, the messenger of Satan to buffet me. That word buffet right there means to beat to a pulp, black and blue. Whatever happened, listen, whatever this thorn in the flesh was that was given to Paul, Satan used it to beat him up. Are y'all hearing me? I need somebody to help me. Now I want you to know something. Paul didn't ask for it. Bible says it was given to him. But ain't it just like the devil to take something and jump all over it? Start trying to beat us down and convince us that God ain't nowhere to be found and nowhere near us. I need somebody to help me. There's some folks in here tonight. There's been some things laid on your plate. You didn't ask for them. You didn't necessarily desire them. But right now there is a spiritual battle that's taking place in your mind, and Satan, the messenger of Satan, this whatever it is that was thrown on your plate, this infirmity that you now have to deal with, Satan's using it to pound you, to convince you God don't love you. God's given you this. God's allowed this to come into your life for your harm. Is everybody? Y'all with me? Paul looked at it probably the same way we did. So how do you know that, preacher? Well, let's look at the next verse. He says, for this thing I besought the Lord thrice that it might depart from me. Paul said, I didn't want it. It might have been given to me, but I didn't want it. And so Paul said three times, I besought the Lord, take this from me. I need somebody to help me that's prayed a prayer like this. God, I got to have this off of me. God, I'm begging you. I can't take it no more. I can't carry this anymore. Right? Paul says three times, now I'm going to need, let's get honest right here. You and I prayed that, we prayed that prayer a lot more than three times. You want to see somebody's spiritual maturity? Look at Paul. He prayed for it three times and he was done. Man, I'd be prayed for like 3 years, begging God three times a day. Morning, noon, and evening, God, take this from me. Paul said three times he prayed about it. God gave him an answer and he went on. Stay with me. Paul was given a thorn in the flesh. Satan used it to beat on him and to beat on him
and to beat on him, to beat him down.
There's a spiritual battle. As Jake mentioned earlier in introducing that song, my studies, my devotions have been around renewing my mind. Jesus said, it's not what's on the outside that defiles a man, but it's what's on the inside. And where Satan will come after you more than any other area of your life is your mind. A gift Paul didn't ask for. A thorn. I heard read one commentator, he said, this thorn is not to be thought of as something that was just irritable. He said, Paul didn't use the word of attack, but he used the word of a nail driven. In other words, whatever this thorn of the flesh was, it was painful. Paul said, I didn't ask for it. It was given to me. And then Satan seized the opportunity to beat me over the head with it. He said, I prayed 3 times and I asked God, take it from me. Verse number 9, stay with me. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. He said, Paul, no matter what comes in your life, I'm going to go over here and say that same thing. Paul, no matter what comes in your life, my grace is sufficient to get you through it. No matter what your thorn is, no matter what your difficulty is, no matter what your infirmity is, he said, my grace is sufficient to get you through it. Now, I think when somebody needs to stop, we need to stop right there and just shout for a moment. Because no matter what you face, no matter what's put on your plate, no matter what comes up tomorrow, no matter what comes up next week, no matter what comes up next year, God said, I'm enough. I'm enough. You don't need nothing else. You don't need it removed. You don't need it eased. You don't need it. Is everybody with me? He said, I'm enough. My grace is enough. I can get you through that thorn. Paul got a hold of it. Because Paul, Bible says this. It says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I hate to say it, but God told him, the more thorns you have, the stronger I am. That's what he said. I'm stronger in your weakness. Everybody wants to glory in our strength. Everybody wants to glory in our strength. We want God to make us strong. We want God to make us powerful. We want God to do this great and mighty thing in our life. But God said it is your infirmities that makes me great. It's your infirmities that makes me strong. God said, I'm not interested in your strength. He said, I'm interested in your weakness. Because it's in your weakness, God said, that my strength is made perfect. Is anybody hearing me tonight? Is anybody hearing me tonight? It's not my strength that impresses God. It's not my strength that impresses other. God said it is my weakness that makes His strength perfect. So listen to what Paul says. Most gladly, therefore. Most gladly, therefore. Therefore will I rather glory in my infirmities. I am going to boast. I am going to glory of my thorns. Why? That the power of Christ may rest upon me. God's strength, God's power was more on Paul in his weakness than in his strength. Our mindset is not built for this. We come on, y'all, help me. We not built for this. Because in our mind, God's supposed to make everything easy. Preacher, take us over there in Isaiah where it says he'll make the crooked path straight. Them crooked paths straight. Can I share something? I don't know if this is even appropriate. I coon hunted for years. I used to coon hunt in competitions. I enjoyed doing it. I get out there and them dogs, I love to hear my dogs run and man, to hear them tree. I had some good dogs and I just looked upon them. It was all the Lord, I promise you. But I had dogs, man, that would bark 107 times per minute on a tree. I'm talking about some of the prettiest things sound you ever heard in the woods. In the middle of the night, everything's dark, and them dogs out there just hammering. But I learned something, coon hunting. I learned that dog could be from me to that back door right there, and I might have to walk a half a mile to get to him. Because that straight line might be the closest from point A to point B, but it's also the bloodiest most times, all right? What I'm getting at is we want a straight path. And sometimes the best is, the best thing we could do is go around, be crooked. That's just the mindset. We got this mindset of everything's supposed to be easy. Everything's supposed to be easy, preacher. It's supposed to, I'm serving God. I'm saved. Amen. Ain't nothing supposed, amen. It's just all supposed. Listen here. This ain't Joel Osteen preaching. Y'all ain't getting Corvettes and airplanes. Stay with me. We gonna walk and ride bicycles. Now, Paul said this. He said, I will glory in my infirmities. The more the better. Because it's those infirmities that Christ's power rests on me. Listen to me. We got to change our mindset. Paul had a problem. If you're taking notes, if you want to write down an outline, Paul had a problem. He had a problem. He had a thorn in the flesh. But his purpose was to keep him from being exalted above measure. See, Paul says, I have a problem with pride too. That's right. Everybody all right?
Amen.
His prayer, just three times, God said, my grace is sufficient. His perception, though, this is what I wanted to speak on. Paul looked at those infirmities as an opportunity for Christ to get the glory. He said, the thorn in my flesh is an opportunity for God to get glory. There was three Hebrew boys in the Bible. King Nebuchadnezzar said, When the music plays, everybody's bowed down. Those three boys said, I'm not bowing down. Nebuchadnezzar says, I'm going to give you a chance, another chance. And boys said, hey, our God is able to deliver us.
That's right.
But if not, know this, O king, we ain't bowing down to you.
Amen.
There was a furnace that was made 7 times hotter than it had ever been made. And them three boys' infirmity was to be thrown into a fire bound. I got thrown in that fire, and in that fire, Nebuchadnezzar looked. He had men, by the way, go read it. He had some guards that died just trying to get them three Hebrew boys in that fire.
Amen.
Nebuchadnezzar looked into that fire, and he said, hey, wait a minute. Didn't we throw three guys in there bound up? Why is it that I see four loosed in the fire? And he said the likeness of the fourth is the Son of God. Is everybody stay with me right here? The infirmity of them boys was an opportunity for Nebuchadnezzar and the entire Babylonian nation to see God.
Amen.
Are you hearing me? Come on, y'all. Come on, I need some help. Are y'all hearing me tonight? What you're dealing with and what you're going through, if you and I will get the right perspective, what you're dealing with right now is just an opportunity for God to be seen by others. And if you and I will live with the right perspective, then the power of God will rest on you and your infirmity so that others might see Him. Because it's not in your strength of overcoming that God gets the glory. It's in your weakness that His strength is made perfect.
Amen.
Who going through something tonight? Come on now. Go ahead. Hey, bury each other's we'll bury each other's burden. Who going through it tonight? Come on. Let's go to come on to the altar. Get up there and sing that song again. There was Jesus. And then after that one, we're going to sing This Grace. Save your voice, Jake. Come on, y'all. Hey, listen, it doesn't do us any bit of good. We come to church and we hear a message and we raise our hand and say, I'm going through it, preacher. I'll just give you a message. Come, what are we going to do with it? Preacher, I don't know what to do with it. Change your perspective. Maybe you've already prayed 3 times for it to be removed, and maybe what needs to be prayed now is, God, give me the right perspective. God, let me see it the right way, so that you can be seen in it. What I'm going through, hey, you didn't ask for it. You didn't like it. It ain't something that you would have desired, but it was given to you with a purpose. That purpose ultimately, whatever it is, that purpose ultimately, is that God's strength be made perfect in your weakness and that others see Him.
Thank you.
going to give Jake just a moment. Stand up right there and brag, Trent, on the Lord, on his grace.
Appreciate that. Hadley's birthday was Tuesday.
Wow.
4 years old. 2 years before that, 6 years ago today. Well, not today, but 6 years ago. Me and Jenny decided we want to start a family. And in my mind, it was just, okay, we'll just do it. We'll just go ahead and start a family. We tried and tried, didn't know what was wrong. Said, well, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with her? What's wrong with either one of us? And doctor said nothing. Y'all are fine. That's, we don't see any reason why you can't. And, it was a struggle because so many folks, I mean, if y'all were here at that time in 2000, 17, 16, 15, golly, there's 30 kids born in this church. And we never, I don't think I ever heard Jenny say one thing about being bitter against any of those people because we were so happy and we just wanted to share in that happiness. God said it's not time. And I remember it just like it was yesterday. We were praying. And said, Lord, if you don't want us to have any kids, that's fine. I accept your will. But because there's so many kids running around, you know what? We can be a mama and we can be a daddy to any and all of those kids. So if this isn't the will for our life from you, then we don't want it. We give it back to you. And 2 or 3 weeks later, she said, I'm pregnant. That birthday has been such a blessing. Changed our life. And we thought that was it. We was like, we're probably done. We don't want some more. God gave us one. He said he gave us all he could in one. And then Hayes came along. So he gave me a little girl and a little boy. And I don't deserve neither one of them. This song tears me up every time because that first line says, I once stood as a sworn enemy of the God who kept pouring out kindness. He has poured out kindness on me and he has poured out grace on me and I didn't deserve a drop. I didn't deserve a little bit. I didn't deserve her. I don't deserve them youngins. I don't deserve to be standing in a church. I should probably be dead in a ditch somewhere. But that grace pours out every day, every hour, every minute, and I don't deserve it. You don't deserve it, but that's why it's called the goodness of God, because you don't deserve it, and I don't deserve it, and it keeps pouring out, and you're going to drown in it, because it's just a never-ending river and a never-ending ocean of goodness and grace, and that's why he's God, and that's why I serve him. God, bless his name. Bless his holy name. I've been struggling, Brother Robbie. I ain't gonna lie. You're getting it all, church. You just better buckle up. The devil has been attacking my mind for months, and them devotions I've been meaning to tell you have been really helpful. But he's been attacking my mind. He's been attacking our marriage, and he wants to destroy everything that we've got because he comes to steal and to kill and to destroy. And if we let him have an inch, and I'm ashamed to say I've let him have an inch, but if we give him that inch, he's going to take every bit of goodness of God away from us. And it's up to us to put up that defense and to renew our mind. And that don't mean renew it one time on Sunday morning and then wait till next Sunday morning. And it don't mean we renew it on Monday morning and then Tuesday morning. It means every day, every hour, every chance you can to meditate on how good God has been to you. And if we'll just do that, he'll protect us and he'll help us to fight off that devil who wants to destroy everything. And I don't know what Paul's thorn was, but I can imagine it was something to do with his mind, something to do with his body. But it doesn't matter. I'll glory in it. Whatever it is, if it, you know, I was thinking about this the other day. Somebody was talking about worried about this and worried about that and worried about dying. The best thing that can happen to me is I die and I get to see Jesus Christ face to face. So we ain't got nothing to fear on this earth. We ain't got nothing to fear outside of these doors because he's standing there waiting for us. Stood as a sworn enemy, the God who kept pouring out. I once stood with an angry clenched fist till he whispered and silenced my fighting. Undone, undone, I could not escape it. 10,000 times of his grace ever wasted.
Every day. Need His grace every moment. Grace is not just there for my sin. Though I'm thankful that it's there for that. Whatever I face, whatever my infirmity, whatever frustration, that's what that infirmity was. That's what Paul's thorn in the flesh, whatever it was. It was a frustration to him. And yet, God said, my grace is sufficient. My grace is sufficient no matter what you're going through. No matter how ugly it is, no matter how painful it is, no matter how dark the outcome. God's enough. God's grace is sufficient. I was about saying Jake to death, but I couldn't leave here without hearing him sing Big Enough. Yeah. I need to hear every now and then that God's bigger than my problems. And that messenger of Satan comes to buff it. Every now and then I need God to just show up and say, hey, that little old thing. I said, my grace is sufficient. You listen, God says, I'm big enough. Whatever you're going through, you listen and be encouraged. God's bigger than your problems. You'll get your eyes off your problems and get your eyes on Him. God will show you things, like Paul said, that's unspeakable. Paul said, I can't even put it into words, and if I could, I couldn't even tell you because it was unlawful for you to hear. God will show you something that you just can't tell nobody about. You'll try. Just won't be able to explain it. You listen.
When I can barely breathe, you're still a song. Even though it's hard right now, you're not here on your own. So many seems it can't be done. I know God is big enough. I can run the race I want to run. Cause I know God is big enough. Rising up, I know God is here.
Died tonight, do you know where you'd spend eternity? Most important question you'll answer in your entire life. If you're basing that answer to that question on anything that you have done, then I'm going to tell you, you're not biblically ready to die. So my question, before we leave, if you were to die sitting in the chair you're sitting in, do you know? Do you know? Do you know? Do you know where you'd spend eternity? The answer to that question is, preacher, I do not know. I want you to do me a favor. Nobody's looking around. I want you to look right up at me. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody like that? Is that you? Anybody else? Be honest with the preacher tonight. Preacher, I do not know. Is there anybody else? Our Heavenly Father, Lord, I come to you tonight, God, knowing that you're big enough. God, I look back on my life and look back at how I was living before I got saved. God, you love me. You proved your love in that while I was yet a sinner, you died for me. God, I pray tonight that those in this building that looked up at me will know that, God, you'll do the same for them. God, you changed my life. God, I pray they know you can change theirs. Lord, tonight I ask you to give them the courage. Because as bad as I want it for them, I can't do it for them. But Lord, I can lead them to the same rock that I was led to. Lord, I can help them get their feet on a firm foundation. Lord, I pray tonight you let me do that. With heads bowed and eyes closed, if you looked up at me, I want to help you tonight. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to come to you. And just in case somebody's looking, I ain't even going to look your way. But tonight, I want to help you. I can't help you. You're going to sit in that seat. If you'll let me help you tonight, I'm going to ask you to do me a favor. There's nobody looking around. I'm standing down here on the floor right in front of the platform. If you'll let me help you tonight, I want you to get up out of your seat. I want you to make your way right to where I'm at. Let me show you how big God is. Let me show you a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Let me show you a love that's greater than any you'll ever experience. It's your choice. If you allow me to do that tonight, I want you to come. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for your grace that's sufficient. Lord, I'm thankful for your grace, Lord, that made a way for me to be saved. God, had it been based off of my merit, I'd be in hell. If it was based off of how I lived my life, I'd be in hell. If it was based off of just the good that I did in my life, Lord, I'd be in hell. But Lord, it was your grace, undeserved, came into my life and offered me eternity with you. Lord, I'm thankful for that grace, September 28, 1997, when I walked an aisle, bowed my head and called out on you. But God, more so, I'm thankful for the grace some 24 years later, that's still being poured out on my life. Difficulties, I've had them. Hardships. Both physical, mental, emotional. But God, your grace has been sufficient. Lord, I pray tonight we leave out of here with a renewed mind. A different perspective upon those things that frustrate us. God, may we see an opportunity, Lord, for your power to be displayed in our life so that others might see your glory. God, thank you for my infirmities. God, I look back on my life and my blessings far outweigh my infirmities. Oh Lord, let me keep the right perspective. God, I pray for every person in this building. God, I pray for a renewed mind in every person in this building. God, may they see your glory. May they see your power resting on them in their infirmities. God, may they trust that your grace is sufficient. God, may they live life with faith. Lord, you're big enough for any problem they'll ever face. Lord, we love you tonight. God, thank you for an opportunity to come to church. Lord, I needed it if nobody else did. Lord, I need to be reminded all the time, Lord, it ain't about me. I'm not to be exalted. I'm not to be lifted up. It's all about you, and you're to be exalted. You're to be lifted up. Lord, we know your word says that if you be lifted up, you'll draw all men to you. I thank you for our